the CHSR, healthylife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor On Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
Hey, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the Dr. On Call Show. Helping yourself to know how is while you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Dr. On Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Today, I am delighted to showcase two intriguing authors who will be sharing their expertise and insights from their books. First up on Pop Psych is Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's also known as Dr. Dream, and she's an award-winning dream expert, best-selling author, and inspirational speaker. Kelly has written over 10 books, including It's All in Your Dreams, and she shared her expertise on various national talk shows, including The Dr. Oz Show and Coast to Coast AM. Kelly's dedicated to helping people harness the power of their dreams to transform their waking lives. And Kelly, I must tell you, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here today because dreams are so compelling for so many people. Many people cannot remember them, but many, many people do remember them and don't even know how to go about making heads or tails sense out of them. So welcome aboard, and let's talk about It's All in Your Dreams and what made you write it. It's so nice to have you. Hi.
So nice to be with you, first of all. I'm a big fan of yours, and I love
thank you.
Shrink wrap, and you're just fascinating to me, so I am completely honored to be with you right now.
How nice of you. Thank you. That is so sweet of you to say that. I appreciate that. So let's talk about dreams. You know, I got to tell you, honestly, I do remember my dreams. And now get this. My husband's a therapist, and we'll be taking a walk, and I'll say, listen, I got to tell you this dream. And I start to tell him the dream, and I go, okay, what does it mean? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? You're a therapist. You work with this stuff. You work with the unconscious. What do you mean you don't know? And he goes like, I'm not interested. Don't tell me another dream.
That's hilarious. Okay, that makes sense. I was just literally talking to a friend of mine. My husband's a music producer and recording engineer. We have a therapist friend in town who's recording his audiobook. And we were just talking about, we've been talking about dreams nonstop in between in the recording, and we were talking about how we really shouldn't have to feel like we have to memorize every dream dictionary out there in order to be a good dream reporter or a good dream responder. It's the best way to listen to somebody's dream is to listen and then be curious and ask them questions and to say, well, how did you feel about that? And what does that bring up for you? I mean, I just had a very bizarre dream that I literally could not make heads or tails of. And I shared it with my friend, Royce Fitz, Dr. Royce Fitz. And he was saying, he just asked me questions. What is Japan to you? Have you ever been in an earthquake? Have you ever been in a tall building? I was like, oh my God. And then
it starts to make sense, right?
Get to have my own insights. And this is how it is, because dreams, the reason why dreams aren't more popular, just as your husband would probably attest to, they're frustrating because it's like getting a whole bunch of data that makes no sense. So we feel it's like we don't feel good about things that we don't feel smart about initially.
Right.
But when we don't, when we realize we don't have to be smart, we just have to be curious. We just have to be interested, and we turn it back on the dreamer. And of course, for somebody like me who is a frequent flyer, who spends a lot of time in the dream space, the language of dreams is kind of obvious. Like flight means something to me. It means somebody's rising above their challenges typically, but I always have to check in with the dreamer to make sure, what does that feel like to you? What does it mean to you? So those are some thoughts I have on the subject. Keep going.
I must say, first of all, those are marvelous thoughts. They are insightful, they are precise, and they really are astute. I mean, I've worked with dreams myself throughout my practice, and I had a very dear friend, may she rest in peace, who was a dream, Cynthia Richmond. You may have heard of her. You may have
referenced her
books in your
work.
Cynthia was, she was a dear, dear, she was such a dear friend of mine, and was so, what's the word, compelling and instantaneous in being able to dissect and help you make sense of a dream. I can do it with my patients if the dreams become so evident because I know dynamically what they're dealing with and symbolically what their language is. But it's much more difficult, I think, when you're doing it for yourself. Like you were saying, you know, you had your own dream and what does it mean? Because I think, do you find that with a lot of people, the dreams are like they border on catastrophe, that, you know, there's a tidal wave coming, or you're just getting out of the building in the nick of time, or you're losing your teeth. There's like all this trauma that people have.
Exactly. Well, this is one thing I've learned over the years, is that the most commonly remembered type of dream is a nightmare, because they're so dramatic and they're so visceral, they're hard to forget. But that doesn't mean that those are the only dreams we're having. It's just kind of like in waking life, if it bleeds, it leads. We remember the difficult things. They create a much deeper imprint in our psyche. The lovely things, the sweet things, the kind things just go right over our head. We don't really pay attention to those things because they're not as survival-oriented. So it's kind of, I think as we evolve, we will become more attuned to those subtle kindnesses, those subtle lovely things that happen in our waking life and in our dreams, and we'll realize, wow, I am having a lot of really wonderful, affirming, aspirational kind of dreams. They just don't leave as indelible a mark. Although every once in a while, they will be emotional too. Somebody dreaming of winning the lottery or meeting the love of their life, which I've dealt with with my clients. And those are great. I mean, anything that kind of gets us emotional in the dream will tend to be an easier dream to recall.
So I want to say a number of things. First of all, I absolutely love what you said initially, that because there are so many dream books out there that bombard the market, that you don't need, it's like learning a foreign language, you don't need to learn what every symbol means. Do you find that there are symbols which are consistent, you know, just across the board, that if you have a dream about flying, that there's a certain expertise or skill, or you're rising above challenges, or you've obtained a certain level of success, or are all the different symbols, if you dream about a lion, or you dream about, you know, mountain climbing, like, I guess I'm asking, how wide a berth is the interpretation of the various symbols?
Well, this is, so I think because we humans, we have so much in common with one another. For example, the sun. For most cultures throughout time, the sun tends to represent optimism. It tends to represent things are looking brighter. We're on the bright side of things. So we could say if there's something sunny in a dream, then we can say, okay, well, then maybe something like there's a hope. There's hope on the other end of this tunnel. Whereas like a dark night of the soul, if everything suddenly gets stormy, that tends to mean something to us collectively. But we are also all so deeply individual that I think even if we think we know a lot about what the person's dream is, I think it's still good to be curious. I have in my book, It's All in Your Dreams, I have a dream interpretation formula. And basically, it's a way of interviewing the person that you're talking to so that you get their responses first before we, the expert or the friend or the spouse, weigh in. And then we can do it from a more informed place. And then I think when we do weigh in, I think it's a really important thing. The International Association for the Study of Dreams, the IASD, recommends that we all say, if it were my dream, I would think that going up, you know, flying is always a good thing. But, you know, how does that feel for you? so that we have a bit of humility. We're not ever telling anybody definitively, I know more about your dream than you do. We always want to empower
right.
the dreamer. So yes, there are some dream symbols. Like, for example, I'd say in the top five playlists of remembered dreams, chasing dreams, like being chased by a nefarious figure, it tends to represent that we're trying to outrun something. I know you've written a book about denial. So often if we are running from something, we're running from a truth that is just really hard to swallow. It's usually not because there is some foreign figure that's trying to kill us. It's usually ourselves that we're running from an aspect of our own truth, of our own reality that we just want to deny because it's too hard. So that's kind of a common denominator. Flying, on the other hand, it represents that we're kind of rising above our difficulties and perhaps seeing things and from a higher perspective. Maybe we're achieving a level of success, and I always think flying dreams are sort of a reward that we're on track, kind of giving us that ding, 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 keep doing what you're doing. Falling dreams tend to represent that we are maybe overwhelmed in our lives, that we are missing the mark, and that we are, quote, unquote, failing. However, a more positive interpretation of that is also that we might be falling into our depths so that we can be the opposite of Icarus, the Greek god that was flying too high in the sky, and then he got above himself, and then he melted like wax. But where we can ground ourselves, because if we don't have deep roots, then we can't handle the success that we want. So I think sometimes falling is about, let's get grounded. And sometimes the childhood home in a dream is a representation of an issue that's unresolved, from who we were back then when we were kids, our family unit, that kind of thing. Dreams of being back in school, this tends to represent life lessons that are important. Might be something that we need to prepare for, like a test that's coming up in our life, even if we're not in school at all. But it might mean that there's something coming up that we should prepare for. And we're learning something that's an important time in our life that we need to pay attention. And then there's dreams of an ex. We could go on and on. And I know you've also
keep going. Keep going. You are so good. You just pull people right in. I think everybody listening is probably running for paper and pad right now, going, I've fallen. Wait a minute. I have an ex. Talk about the ex.
Because I hear
that a lot. The ex dream, and also people tell me they're dreaming about their carrying on romances and rendezvous with celebrities. What does it mean when you're dreaming about your ex? Or people I know have said, have they stopped smoking and they said they're smoking in their dreams? Keep going. Yeah. Kelly, you are fascinating.
Oh, my God. I'll put in a little cheap plug here. I did write a book called The Love, Sex, and Relationship Dream Dictionary that is all about this. So if this little tidbit isn't enough for you, you can go find that book. But in the meantime, when we dream about an ex, it's such a loaded topic. And believe me, I've had more than my share of these. But I will say, I think of X marks the spot. We dream about an X because typically when we leave a relationship, we leave because there was something that wasn't working, there was something that didn't feel good, and we didn't get to work it out. If we got to work it out, we would probably still be with that person. So there's usually unresolved energy. And I always like to say the X marks the spot because there's sometimes an aspect of ourselves that we leave behind back then, like that song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Oh, interesting.
So I think our dreams about an ex, they're not necessarily about revealing that we still covet that person, that we wish we were back with them. No, not necessarily. It might mean that we wish we had that part of our aliveness back, that part of our sexiness, that part of our innocence, that part of our adventurousness. Whoever we were when we were with that person, that's what we should ask ourselves. Who was I when I was with that person? Oh, my God, I was so vulnerable. I was so in love. That we're dreaming about that so that we can recapitulate. We can grab that part of ourselves back and bring it into present tense so that we can love the one we're with, which might be our partner, or at least ourselves.
You know, that is so true. It's such a wonderful way of looking at it that, you know, because people get very, some of my people have gotten very distressed. Why am I dreaming about this person? And yes. In truth, what you're saying is you're not dreaming about them as much as who you were with them. And
exactly.
What you left behind or what you lost when you moved out of that relationship. And it, maybe that becomes a roadmap to how to reclaim it for yourself or that
exactly.
to even become aware that you want to, that you need to reawaken this lost piece of yourself.
Exactly. This is a really good place to just mention, to not be ashamed of any of these dreams. I think one of the reasons we don't learn more quickly the lessons and the blessings and the insights from the dream is because we shut them out. We say, oh, my God, I don't want to look at that. I go into denial. I don't want to tell the truth about myself. Back to your book. So, but if we look at them like there's nothing, there is no shame in my game. There is not, my dreams are always giving me a gift. They're trying to bring me closer to myself. They're trying to help me to be more in love with myself. It's not about them. It's not about they. It's about me.
Oh, that's marvelous. That is
about celebrities. Oh, my God. Do we have time for one little celebrity bit?
Yes, please. Oh, please.
Okay. So because celebrities, as you know, Dr. Jane, we are all fascinated in our culture with celebrities. We look at them, they're larger than life, but they are, everyone in our dream is
right.
an aspect of ourselves. So celebrities tend to represent larger than life aspects of our own self, our own qualities, our shadow, the light shadow or the dark shadow, the part of ourselves that we repress or the part of ourselves that we wish we had. So if we're in a romantic entanglement with a celebrity, ask yourself, what are the three qualities that this person represents? Are they rugged? Are they strong? Are they capable? Then we can consider that we are having an entanglement with the strong, rugged, capable part of ourselves. Why might that be important in my life right now to have a more intimate connection with this part of myself? So it always comes back to ourselves. It's the ultimate.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know what's so funny? I had a dream of 2 weeks ago. I absolutely adore Taylor Swift. I mean, you know, yes. I don't have to throw myself into the mix of a gazillion people who love her. In any event, I was really saddened by how sad she was with one of her lyrics. How much sad did I have? And I went to sleep that night, and I'm giving her advice about why she's so sad. And, you know, she was talking one of the songs to me, it sounded codependent, and I'm saying, you know, you got to deal with the issue in yourself. You can't try and change him. And I woke up and I thought, gosh, if only she took the advice. I mean, she'd be so much happier. And
well,
it's so it's.
At some level, she got a free session from you. Because I think in the realm of dreams, we transcend time and space. So you were connected with her, and the fact that so many of your clients or so many people in the world, they love her because they relate to her. So in some
right.
way, you are helping to tend to the people that do relate. And even, I would say, the little, teeny little drop of Taylor Swift that is in you, because everybody in the dream is an aspect of ourselves. So it's like the healer heal thyself. If there's any little, teeny, tiny little microscopic drop of, like, codependence or whatever, then it's like, wow, the higher self, the higher Jane is loving the younger version of Jane, or even the Jane back in time that didn't know these things. So there's a healing in a dream like this. That's my interpretation, if it were mine.
Well, first of all, I love the way, you know, you throw it out and put it out there. That's what I would do if it were me. That's my interpretation
yes.
if it were mine.
Yes.
You
exactly.
are extraordinarily fluid and fluent in speaking dreams. It is, I mean, it's joyful to listen to you because you really just capture the essence of not only my dream, but of all the dreams that people are having and really are the one who's taking them through the desert to show them how to get to the other side. To water.
Oh.
You know, I'm sorry to say we ran out of time because I have a million more questions that I would love to ask you. And so I am going on record now to say you must come back. We will make sure to have you back in the next couple of months when we get back on track here and continue to let you share your wisdom and knowledge with our listeners. Kelly, thank you so, so much for being here today.
Thank you, Dr. Jane Greer. You are so wonderful. You had me at hello. I will come back anytime you ask. This was so much fun, and thank you so much. And I hope everyone is listening. Don't take your dreams lying down. Sweet dreams, everyone. Thank you.
Absolutely. And people, you can learn more about Kelly Sullivan Walden and her books at kellysullivanwalden.com. So stay with us, because we're going to be back in just a minute for more of Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com. Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started. Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
Welcome back to Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I'm here with my next guest, Dionette Wells. Dionette is an inspiring adventurer and author of the book Another Step Up the Mountain. Her deeply personal story chronicles her journey of self-discovery, her passion for extreme sports, and the challenges she faced, including the profound loss of her son. Through her experiences, she offers valuable insights into overcoming obstacles and finding empowerment. Welcome, Dionette. It's really a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start with your book, Another Step Up the Mountain, details your incredible journey of balancing motherhood and extreme sports. What motivated you to write this deeply personal story?
People had been telling me for years, oh, you should write a book about your adventures. And, you know, after hearing that for a decade, I finally just sat down and started writing.
Well, so what were the adventures that you had been having that you were sharing with your friends that they said, oh, my God, you got to put that in a book?
I climbed the Seven Summits, adventure racing.
Oh, just that? Just that.
yeah, that was a piece of it. Mostly it was about, I would say, the Seven Summits and adventure racing. And I had been adventure racing all over the planet. And they were just shocked that, you know, a mom would go and do this stuff.
So start with adventure racing. What is that? Adventure racing is multi-day, multi-sport. You know, on your mark, get set, go, nonstop, usually, you know, 6 to 10 days, the long ones, the expedition length, which are my favorite. And, you know, it's just on your mark, get set, go. So the one that people could watch if they wanted to is on Amazon Prime. It's called The World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge. And that gives you a great idea of what adventure racing is.
Well, what compelled you to do that? I mean, were you athletic when you were in junior high, high school? Did you come from an athletic family? Did you want to build up your physical strength and endurance? I mean, like, sometimes, like Arnold Schwarzenegger was thin in school, and he was headset that he's going to become a strong bodybuilder. What triggered you to pursue something so challenging?
You know, I was a cheerleader all through high school. I couldn't even run around the block in my early 20s. But I had been driving past Mount Whitney for years to go skiing up in Mammoth. And I always knew that I would climb that mountain. And so I got 10 of my girlfriends to climb it with me. And I was just hooked. That first climb, that was it. And then I wanted, you know, another climb. But then I climbed Kilimanjaro. After climbing that, I met Mark Burnett. And that's what changed everything.
Okay, wait, back up. I must say, I was a cheerleader in high school and never did it dawn on me to climb a mountain. So were you hiking? Were you walking a lot? How did you prepare? I had a patient one time who said to me, you know, she did some mountain climbing. She went up the mountain in a pair of brand new leather boots without socks. And, you know, knowing nothing about climbing and just about destroying her feet. But like, what drove you to learn about or even desire? It's one thing to drive past a mountain, but to say, you know, I'm going to climb it. Was it a past life?
It was something because I can't tell you. I mean, and this was kind of before the internet, so it wasn't like we could just look up, you know, things to bring and how to prepare. You know, I was going to the gym with all the other moms, and so I had a nice base level of fitness, but, and I would hike in Malibu, but I had never climbed anything. I had no idea what altitude would do to me, and it was just something deep inside, I knew I had to do, and it was correct.
Wow, that's just amazing. It's like that was your inner soul and inner self guiding you to where you needed to be. Now, when you did it, the first mountain you went up, snakes, lions, bears, anything that you encountered, you know, the nature, ticks, Lyme disease, any of that. Discouraged you, or you know, you said
no.
Next time I'll know to watch out. I mean, you just went in there without any fear. It sounds like of what you could encounter.
Well, I didn't know enough to be afraid of anything, but no, we didn't encounter any animals. Nothing like that on Whitney that we saw, and I didn't know enough to be afraid of anything.
And the altitude, you mentioned you didn't know about the altitude. So what about the altitude?
I am very, very fortunate. It didn't affect me. It affected some of the other women on the climb, but once I got to the summit, my friend and I were waiting for the rest of our friends. So I laid down for about an hour. And because of that, I did have a headache. And so we got up and went back down, but I feel really good at altitude, and I'm grateful for that.
You're very fortunate. It's like you were meant to be on that mountain, you know, absolutely free from anything that would plague you. Now, you mentioned Mark Burnett. Tell us about that. And just as a sidebar, did you ever at any point want to pursue all these reality-based shows, the challenges that people have, Survivor, you know, I don't even remember half the names of them, the Great American Race, all these different shows where you're putting yourself to the challenge. Was that ever something that appealed to you? No. One, if you've ever done an eco challenge, you can't be on Survivor. And for me, that's not my wheelhouse. I don't think I could keep all of those, you know, lives and relationships all straight in that amount of time. But for me, that's not adventure. I'm more, you know, what's the adventure of something? That's why I don't like doing marathons because, you know, there's no adventure in it, or triathlons. It's, you know, I want to be really out in nature, you know, not knowing what's going to happen between point A and point B.
So it's that spirit of curiosity and, you know, dynamically welcoming the unknown is what drove you up the mountain in the first place. You know, discovery, the desire to discover and seek out the new, which is so wonderful. So,
and wondering, too, how you'll react in a challenge. You know, are you going to lose your marbles when things get hard? Are you going to stay calm and, you know, persevere and keep putting one step in front of the other? It's interesting.
So I must ask you, because climbing the seven summits is such an extraordinary feat and so daunting, and so many people wouldn't even do it in their dreams because it's a little scary. Do you have other fears that are that you deal with? And you know what? Hold that, because we're going to take a break. But we need to come back to, are there other fears when you're able to do something so remarkable and, you know, just really just blow through the basic fears that would hold people back? Are there any that you do actually encounter? Stay with us, everybody. And we'll find out with Dionette what, if anything, does frighten her. Back in a minute at HealthyLife.net.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person, Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com.
Remember, media with integrity, www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pop Psych. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I'm continuing my conversation with Dionette Welsh, who's the author of Another Step Up the Mountain. And we were talking about your personal fears, if any. Are there any that, you know, that other than climbing a mountain and tackling
all the unknowns there, just some down-to-earth basic fears that, that kick in?
I mean, sure. I have a million fears. But let's see. I'm not super comfortable in the ocean. I don't like dark water. But, you know, in certain races, you still have to swim in it.
And you do it. See, that, well, stop right there. That's what I think is so extraordinary, that you face your fears, that your fears, you didn't know from them when you were younger and started, and you've not allowed them to hold you back. You are prepared to take on the unknown and face challenges. So let's move into the extraordinary challenge of losing your son, Johnny, which, I mean, dealing with loss is devastating. I dealt with it with losing my mother, and I wrote a book called The Afterlife Connection, you know, how to stay connected with our loved ones and, you know, being able to recognize the signs and embrace them. So how did losing Johnny influence your passion for adventure sports and also your decision to write your book?
I would say it definitely took away my mojo for sports. You know, losing your child takes the wind out of your sails, and, you know, just getting up out of bed every day becomes your new mountain to climb.
Well said. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and, you know, over the years and over time, it's something you learn to live with. You never get over it. It's just, you know, something you have to learn to live with.
You know, I always say, to your point, you're right, when I speak about loss and grief, I always say you don't get over it, you get on with it. Because it's a part of who you, it changes the fabric of who you are and how you live your life forever. But you're right, the mountain to climb after losing a loved one is just day-to-day living. So how did you go forward, and what's the lesson that you would like people to take away from your experience?
You know, be kind with yourself. If, you know, you're just having one of those days, it's okay. I would know. I would wake up and I'd feel a certain way, and I would just say, okay, you know, Danette, it's okay. We're just going to watch Netflix today. And that was okay. And then, you know, I had dogs at the time, so I had to get up and walk the dogs. And being outside, for me, is what helped the most. And then there was a point that hit me that I need to sign up for something. And so I signed up for an ultra. My friend Mary Gaddon is a race director for Racing the Planet. And there was a race coming up, and so I flew to Sri Lanka and did an ultra and started to feel a little bit normal again. And that helped.
It's really something, because, you know, to be able to go on and get back into the, you know, the groove of your life and living after such a devastating loss, did you struggle with, because a lot of times people, when they are dealing with grief, being able to enjoy yourself, being able to do what you do and do it well and feel okay with it when you're still dealing with grief, and grief kind of stays with us. You know, I say to people, it's not like being depressed where you just don't want to do anything or you lose your passion for everything. Grief is odd in it has its own way of surfacing, and so just like you said, you can be grief-stricken one day and not want to move and not mobilize, and then the next day you're back in the swing of things. Did you find that was a little compelling or I guess challenging to reconcile? Confusing.
No,
that's the word I'm looking for.
I took it for what it was. And I know that everybody grieves in their own way, and I had read enough that I just allowed myself that space to okay, we're going to sit on the couch today. Now, if that had become a way of life, I would have done something more about it. But, you know, fortunately, you know, I was able to sign up for an ultra and, you know, go back to what I was passionate about, which, you know, has led back to climbing, and I did a couple of adventure races. And so, you know, again, the stronger you get physically and back to who and what you're comfortable with and you know and you love, you know, that all helps. It's, you know, losing a child that's with you every single day and that never goes away, but you just learn to live with it in better ways. So I have fewer right. Netflix days now, thank goodness, and, you know, life goes on.
Well, but you went on with your life. You know, you didn't get over it, but you got on with it, and you got back into the rhythm of your life. I must ask you, you know, having written a book on loss and grief and having dealt with so many people's afterlife experiences, including my own, and knowing how powerful the spirit of our loved ones is and how they stay with us and support us and guide us and protect us. Did you find that Johnny stayed with you? Did you get signs from him? Did you feel stronger in certain moments? It's been my observation. I can't support this with research, but I can only tell you that I do see when people have lost a loved one that they suddenly succeed. They win money in the lottery. They win a tournament. They excel in something. They get the job they've wanted. There's something really positive that comes into their life. In fact, I was in, this is going to sound strange, I was in Atlantic City one time, and this guy was playing roulette, and he won like 5 times in a row. So I tapped on his shoulder, and I said, look, this is going to sound like a really odd question, but have you lost anyone in your family recently? And he looked at me dumbstruck, and he said, yes, my sister passed away 3 months ago. I said, well, she's here, and she is giving you those winning numbers every spin. So did you feel Johnny with you up that mountain?
I've had definite signs from him, and where I actually heard him was during Eco Challenge in 2019, and that was a race in Fiji, and I literally heard his voice.
And in less than a second, can I ask you what he said when you heard that?
I'm going to keep that between he and I.
Good
I think
you.
I put
okay.
it in the book. You'll have to read the book.
Okay. And so with that, listeners, you must read the book. You can find out more about Dionette Wells and her book at DionetteWells.com or on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It is, if you're about
no, I'm not on Twitter.
Oh, you're not on Twitter. Okay, it does say here Twitter, but then I retract that and encourage everybody to get this book because it is quite a compelling story that you have shared with us on another step up the mountain. Thank you so much for being here and talking about your personal experience and what you've learned to pass on to people.
Thank you.
Okay, and when we come back, everybody, stick with us because it's going to be time for Shrink Wrap. Back in a minute.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call?
In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com. www.drjanegreer.com. How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, welcome to the Shrink Wrap segment of Dr. On Call, where it's all about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of not only celebrities, but all relationships. The celebrity stars shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall. So Shrink Wrap is here to shed light on all, and joining me today is Jay Cruz. Jay has his extensive experience as a broadcasting professional. He's used his background and experience to help produce, coach, and further the positive vision of Healthy Life Radio and all of its numerous shows. And Jay, here we go again. We're off and running with Shrink Wrap. It's so much fun to do this with you.
Oh, thank you very much. And it is, it's always fun for me too. I look forward to these segments.
Well, I appreciate that. And let's jump right in with, you know, the celebrity stars. We look up to them, but we're puzzled when they fall. And I got to tell you, Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, seems to have fallen from grace faster than a speeding bullet. I mean, the rumors of her and Ben divorcing, breaking up, are flying around like, you know, like lightning bugs. And he's had the ring on, he's had the ring off. There have been a few comments that I've read that he's made that, you know, they're very different people, and he knew going into it he didn't want to be in the public eye, but that's like telling somebody who's, you know, who sails that they can't be in water because he knows how important this is to her. It just seems, and then an insider said, one of his friends apparently, I read, said that, oh, this was a fantasy, and he woke up from it, he came to his senses from this, you know, fantasy world after 2 years. It's kind of heartbreaking because she loves, at least, has declared and proclaimed her love for him so abundantly. I mean, she poured all her money into making this Is Me Now movie, documenting where she started, how in love they were, saying unequivocally that this was the greatest heartbreak of her life when they initially broke their engagement back in the day. Did this whole short story video to testimony to how in love she is, how much she's grown, what she's learned. He's the love of her life, poured all her money into it. And on the heels of it, it apparently it bombed completely, and she lost all this money. Now, in addition to which, her marriage is it on, is it off? Her tour has been, she's canceled it and pulled out on pursuing it. How does somebody who's just flying so close to the sun, got the guy, got the tour, got the movie, got it all going for her, just take such a plunge?
That's a great question. And, you know, I would, you know, we need to hear more from Ben, although he's not really, you know, speaking up. We hear more from his friends about what they think, you know, which is a lot of times, you know, maybe they know something, maybe they observe something, maybe they see a change in his behavior, or,
Yeah, maybe they're just jealous because, you know, maybe this particular individual was missing the party time with Ben and those good days in this person's mind. You know, supposedly he's kind of put that behind him a little bit, but, you know, there's been some odd behavior, like with the Tom Brady roasts about a month ago that was on Netflix. People can still go watch it. You know, he just had a very strange, you know, he didn't really, and he's friends and a fan of Tom Brady, but he came out with these comments about social media, and it was just a little awkward. Wasn't sure what he was talking about necessarily, and, you know, it just seemed like almost a,
interesting,
a little misguided or a meltdown or just he was in a weird place, maybe, you know, maybe drinking or something that particular day. Not to say that he's, you know, fallen or whatever, but it just seemed like odd behavior when, you know, a roast is kind of odd behavior in essence that the roastee allows you to bring out all the skeletons in the closet and completely make fun of them. And, you know, there were a few things that sort of ruffled Brady's feathers the wrong way. You know, but that was just an interesting public appearance from him. And before that, there was like a video that was out where they were getting in a car after getting some, you know, coffee in the morning. And it just seemed like they were, you know, having an awkward moment, like they were just having a, you know, a petty little argument about, you know, someone not throwing the socks in the hamper or leaving the coffee machine on too long or something, you know, just something like that. And that was a little while ago, but then there was also a video, you know, and again, these people that, you know, stalk, you know, Ben's home or whatever, Jennifer Garner was seen coming over. Maybe she was there to talk to him, but, you know, whoever filmed the video was speculating it was strange because, you know, she wasn't there with her kids and it was just the two of them and J-Lo wasn't there. And, you know, so these things kind of add to it. And I'm sure if I heard about it, Jennifer Lopez heard about it because, you know, it was online. And, you know, they're much closer and much more involved. So I think Ben's been acting a little strange, maybe.
Well, absolutely. Great points and great observations from the videos. And to your point, it's so interesting because the way it's being presented in the media at the moment is kind of like J-Lo is so demanding and she's so hard to live with and she's, you know, she's so in the media front and center, which may have accounted for some of his social media comments. But let's not forget, she had Leah Remini and her were great friends and then split up because Leah Remini had real concerns about Ben and shared them with J-Lo. A very risky thing to do when your friend is getting married to tell him what you really think about their partner. But with that being said, her concerns certainly were legitimate. And now circle round to the fact that let's not forget that Ben had a drinking problem, had tremendous difficulty maintaining his sobriety, had a gambling problem with a lot of money, and, you know, all the relationships that he had been in, including Jennifer Gardner and the producer that he dated from, I think, Saturday Night Live or one of the shows, it was all testimony to how difficult it was to live with a man who was an addict, you know, addicted to alcohol and, you know, the addictive behavior. I remember Jennifer Gardner had a quote where she said, when he shined his light on you, it was like the sun was out, but then it was complete darkness when it wasn't. You know, which was just such a graphic statement, but you could see it. Like when he's there and present and all in, you could see how these women were just madly in love with him. But it does seem, you know, J-Lo is all about the energy and the work and the eat well and, you know, live well and live hard. And if he's off the wagon or, you know, not able to keep up with that piece of her life, it's a conflict of interest. And the two of them, no matter what the attraction is, as a marriage therapist, I know that if you can't negotiate your differences and find a way to be tolerant and accepting and balance them, they're going to drive you apart. It's just that simple.
It seems
like they're living in separate houses at the moment. You know, the air kiss, they just were at his son's graduation, and they showed the picture of them air kissing on the cheek. that is not how J-Lo and Ben Affleck kissed. I mean, they were in each other's face. So it's just very sad. She worked so hard. I can only imagine that she's heartbroken. I would imagine that he's unhappy as well, because you don't go into a marriage with the expectation that it's not going to work. You go into the expectation that it's going to work, especially when you're coming back full circle like these two did, that they were ready to take the plunge after the fears held them back in the past. Maybe the reservations of the past were in fact on point.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you love somebody, but you can't live with them. Period.
And, you know, sometimes when people try to do, you know, round two or part two or let's give it another shot, things might go well. You know, that spark might be there and, you know, people might be willing to give it a try and certainly have feelings and love for the other person. But, you know, these old things sometimes creep up, and at some point you're like, that's why it didn't work the first time. Is this, you know, am I really, you know, is love blind? Did I not see this? Was I just, you know, feeling the emotions of love and wanted to, you know, make this happen? So that
right.
could be a
right.
distinct okay. possibility. And, you know, we're coming up to the end of the segment, Dr. Jane.
Well, that happens way too fast. You said it so accurately. And listeners, this is why Jay and I, when we come back in September, are going to be doing shrink wrap. We're going to expand the shrink wrap segment. We're going to be giving you two segments of shrink wrap because there's so much to talk about, speculate, hypothesis on, and look at for everybody to take away, because there's so much to learn from the celebrities that, you know, in the case of J-Lo and Ben, if they can't learn to reconcile their differences and compromise, absence may make the heart grow fonder, but it doesn't make people get along better. If you don't learn how to do that, you're just going to be going back for round two and round three. So come back for segment one and segment two of Shrink Wrap when we launch it in September. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Jay, thank you, as always, for such a great, insightful conversation on the trials and triumphs of celebrity relationships.
Always fun.
Absolutely. And join me next month, everybody, for an encore episode of Dr. On Call with fabulous guests. Be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com and check out my book, Am I Lying to Myself? Probably. How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth. It's available on Amazon.com. Follow me online at www.drjanegreer.com for relationship tips and advice. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.
Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then How Could You Do This to Me and What About Me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Thank you for joining Dr. Jane Greer for Doctor on Call. Listen to this episode again anytime on demand at healthylife.net. Keep up with Dr. Jane Greer's social media, blogs, magazine articles, books, and guest appearances at her website, drjanegreer.com. Dr. On Call with Dr. Jane Greer is produced and syndicated by healthylife.net. All positive, Web Talk Radio.